produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Hello, I am Pastor George Emeka of South Africa, and the first assistant to our CEO and founder, Caleb Padgett. And you are listening to Victorious in Christ radio program with Dr. Ronald E. Rolfe Ministries.
Tonight, I want to just draw your attention briefly to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 15. I want to share with you from this epistle of Paul to the church of Corinth, and it's a very impactful scripture that I want to share with you on tonight and give you a thought to go along with this particular text. It reads in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 15, "I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that it was the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints." Oh my God, they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Let me go back and read that text again. It says, "I beseech you, brethren." Now, we understand the Bible is written in a masculine perspective, so naturally it's saying brethren, but that's inclusive of everybody. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren and sisters." I beseech you, believers, that you know the house of Stephanas, because they were believers in Jesus Christ as well, that it is the first fruits of Achaia. First fruits, that they were saved under this ministry, and that they have addicted themselves. You know what an addiction is? It's an attraction. It is something that you feel as if you have to have. It's something you feel as if you can't do without. And God forbid that if anybody has a chemical dependency. I've never had a chemical addiction. Thank God for that. I've been saved, and God saved me from other things. But a chemical dependency, that addiction, you crave things, you desire things, you want it, because your brain now is wired toward that, and you try to satisfy that. But it's like that in the gospel of Jesus Christ. God wants us to be addicted to his word, to be addicted to the ministry of the saints. Oh my God, when you are addicted to something, you will understand, I gotta have it, I can't do without it, because it makes me feel better. And it is something about the gospel of Jesus Christ. It will make you feel better. That's what the gospel means, good news. What is the good news? The good news is that God saves through his son, Jesus Christ. God heals through his son, Jesus Christ. God delivers through his son, Jesus Christ. God sets free through his son, Jesus Christ. And oh, I give praise and glory and honor to God that we can be addicted to the ministry of the saints. Who are the saints? They are the children of God. So on tonight, when I talk about beseech you, brethren, sisters, you know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Well, I want to talk to you about this. Stay connected. Oh my God, yes. Stay connected. Before I go into other scriptures, I just want to remind you about staying connected. I mentioned a moment ago how I thank God for technology. I thank God for how he allowed us to use technology to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. But it can be frustrating also, because when you lose that connection, when you lose that power, you're frustrated because now you can no longer receive what you needed to receive or what you desire to receive. You know how it is sometimes when you're dealing with Wi-Fi, you're dealing with the internet, and you're dealing with technology, and sometimes it just will not cooperate for whatever reason. But when you are disconnected, when you lose that power, when you lose that connection, it is a void in your life. Oh, that's another message right there. If we don't stay connected to God, it creates a void in our lives. It creates a lack in our lives. But when we stay connected, oh my God, God will do wonders in your life. Well, when I say stay connected, I want to remind you of some scriptures on this evening. The first one I want to remind you of is Romans chapter 12, verse 1, and I'll read verse 2 as well. But verse 1 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, and there it is again in the masculine gender, but it's inclusive of everybody. I beseech you, therefore, believers, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Before I go to verse 2, let me expound on verse 1. I beseech you. In other words, I'm encouraging you. I'm coming after you. I beseech you, believers, by the mercies of God. And by his mercies, thank God for his mercies. Because of his mercies, we are not consumed. Because great is thou faithfulness. Thou mercies are new every morning. So by the mercies of God, present your bodies. That's who you are. Your body is a temple for the Holy Spirit. Present your body a living sacrifice. Oh, my God. God has never called for us to sacrifice ourselves as a human being, but he wants the sacrifice of our will. That's what the writer is talking about. Present your bodies, your will, a living sacrifice, holy. Why? Because God is holy. Be ye holy, acceptable. Let your sacrifice be acceptable unto God. Remember when Cain and Abel brought gifts before God and God accepted Abel's gift and denied Cain's gift? Why? Because it was not acceptable unto God. So you should be, it should be your prayer. It should be your desire. God, whatever I do for you and for your cause, let it be acceptable unto you. Let it be pleasing in your sight. And then the Bible says, which is your reasonable service. After all God has done for us, after all what God does to us, it is our reasonable. Oh my God. Yes, we can do more, but this is our reasonable service, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And then the writer says in verse 2, Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And he says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let me expound on that. And be not conformed to this world. In other words, don't try to be like the world. Be like what God has called you to be. He has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Be what God has called you to be, and that is to be his child. So be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed. Transform means change. What is that change? When I gave my life over to Jesus Christ, as we used to say, I don't do the things I used to do. I don't go to the places I used to go. And it's not that I can't go. I no longer have the desire to go. Why? Because be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Oh, my God. There it is. The mind. The mind. It is your will. God has given you a will. So allow your will to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. As one scripture says, let the mind that be in Christ Jesus be also in you. So you should say, Lord, touch the mind, Lord, touch the mind, Lord. Let the mind that was in Christ Jesus be also in me. Let his will be done in my life, that you may prove what is that good. The word prove means to test. It means to be an example, to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The will of God is good. The will of God is acceptable, and the will of God is perfect. So you want to be perfect in the eyes of God. Perfect does not mean infallible, but what perfect means, it means that you are made whole in the eyes of God because you are saved and you have God's Holy Spirit in you. Well, I want you to understand your faith is strengthened by staying connected. Yes, it is. When you stay connected to God, your faith is strengthened when you are connected. The power is never greater than the source. Oh my God, the power is never greater than the source. So the power that we have, that God has given us, is never greater than the source. Well, what is the source? The source is our God, our Savior, and His Holy Spirit. Why? Because greater is He that is in you than he that is within the world. I said the power is never greater than the source. Well, understand this. A faucet is not greater than a river. You understand what a faucet is, where you can turn the water on and off. Well, common logic gets you to understand a faucet is not greater than a river. A power outlet is not greater than a transformer. It receives power from that. So we receive our power from the source, and our source is through our Savior Jesus Christ and ultimately through the Father. The strength of a tree is in the roots and not in the branches. Oh my God, did you understand that? The strength of a tree is in the roots and not in the branches. Why? Because branches can break, branches can lean, but it's something about those roots. When you are rooted in God, when storms come, when trials and tribulations come, your roots will keep you stable in God. Stay connected. So when I say stay connected, well, what is it that you are staying connected to? I want to give you what you're staying connected to, or what you should be connected to. Number one, practice your faith. Yes, practice your faith. And when I mean practice, I don't mean be fake in it. I don't mean for it to be a facade. I don't mean for it to not be realistic. But when I say practice your faith, the Bible says the fruit that you bear. You know, the tree by the fruit that it bears. So we have to be, and we have to practice who we are in God. So when others see us, they will see the light and glory of God in our lives. It never ceases to amaze me when I run across a stranger and they will sense God in my life. And it's not that I have a suit and tie on. I can have a jogging outfit. I can be dressed leisure like I am now. And it's just something they can feel, just the power and the love of God coming through you. Because that from the heart reaches the heart. As we say, love that flows from heart to heart and breast to breast. And I always give God glory. I always give God honor when that happens. And I ask the person, well, what gave it away? And they just said, it's just something about your mannerism. It's just something about your speech. And I'm not quoting scriptures. It could just be, hello, how you doing? It's just something about that. I want you to know that when you practice your faith, God will get down in you, and they will sense God in your life. The next I want to say is be an example. Yes, be an example. You don't have to quote scriptures. You don't have to go around being fanatical, but just be an example, because we are living epistles read of all men. What's an epistle? It's a letter. So people will see you, and they may even know that you are a Christian. They may know that you are a believer. Well, be an example. And I want to ask you, are you a living epistle? Are you an example enough to where you can draw others to Jesus Christ, or would it draw them away? Because the gospel will either draw you or it will drive you. Because you want to drive them, bring them, draw them to Jesus Christ. And we do that with love, because the Bible says, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. So be an example. Be a living epistle. You may not know Genesis to Revelation. They may not understand the scriptures because they have not had a relationship with Jesus Christ. But if you just let them know that God loves them, that God wants to save them, that God wants to be a part of their life, that God wants to be a part of their extended family life, that God wants to be a part of their world. And the only thing God wants to do is to help them and love them so they can live a victorious life in Jesus Christ. So be an example. And then share your faith. Oh my God. Yes. Share your faith. A witness for the Lord. The Holy Spirit, He will let you know when it is the opportune time to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. No, you don't want to be so fanatical that when people see you coming, they want to go the other way. But you can share the gospel in so many ways. It's not always sharing scriptures. It's just being human. It's just being loving. It's just being kind, that they will see the love of God in your life. And before you know it, they will want what you have. I remember when I got saved, and that's what I told the person that drew me to Jesus Christ. I said, I want what you have, because I was envious of the love of God that was being shown and exhibited in their life. So share your faith. Share who you are in God. If people around you and in your circle of life, if they don't know that you are a believer in Jesus Christ, something is wrong, beloved. They should understand that and know that, and they should respect that. Yes, I've been in circles where individuals may have said something that was ungodly, and then they are looking, so, ooh, forgive me, Pastor Rolf. I'm sorry. You're in our presence. That's what you want. You want people to respect who you are in God and respect who you are in Jesus Christ. Why? Because now you become an example, and now you can share the faith. You cannot share what you don't have. You cannot be an example of what you have not experienced. So when you do that, God is pleased and you are staying connected. Well, let me give you some scriptures as we finish on and go through on through our lesson on tonight. And I want to bring your attention to Acts chapter 2, verse 42 through 47. Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. I don't have the scriptures, the wording up there, but I'm just going to read it to you. And it says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common. In other words, they stayed connected. Verse 45, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. In other words, the church didn't mind being community. The church helped others that were without. Verse 46, and they continually, daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. In other words, they began to fellowship with each other. If you fellowship more with people that are not saved than are saved, something is not wrong. Something is wrong, rather, in your life. We should be more comfortable around people of God and sharing with them than being around secular people. I'm not saying that you shouldn't have them in your life somewhere, but what I'm saying is you should have more godly people in your life than ungodly. And the Bible reminds us of that. Can two walk together except they be agreed? And then the Bible says in verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. There it is right there. When the church will grow, when God will add to the church, it's because we are doing our part. It's because we are staying connected. And when we stay connected, God is loving and God is forgiving. I want you to understand. And I read this and I share it with you. I've given God a million reasons not to love me, but none of them worked. Oh my God. In other words, in spite of me, God's love persisted and prevailed. In spite of me, God's love persisted and prevailed. Why? Because when we stay connected, God will stay connected to us. He will never leave us nor forsake us, but we can leave him. Yes, we can. Stay connected, my beloved. Stay with God. I want to read another scripture to you. John 17 and 11. John 17 and 11, it states, and now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those who thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. So what Jesus Christ is saying, he's praying for us. The Lord is praying, Lord, keep them, make them one as we are one. What? One Lord, one faith, one baptism. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And again, that verse says, and now I am no more in the world. I want you to understand that we live in the world, but we are not of the world. What do I mean by we're not of the world? Because the Bible says that, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. So we live in the world, but we're not of the world. Why? Because we are the salt of the earth. We are the light in the world. And that's what God has placed in us through his son, Jesus Christ. He said, Father, keep them through thine own name, those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. Do you understand how powerful we could be as the church when we become one? Now, understand we have different denominations. We have different reformations. I understand that and I respect that because Jesus Christ said, there are sheep that I have that are not of this fold. So he has sheep that are of a fold, but yet it is one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. It is one body. It is the body of Christ. And in the mind of God is only one church, and that is the universal church. And I understand the divisions. I understand the reformations. I understand the different denominations. I understand the different doctrines. But as long as you believe in Jesus Christ and you accept him as your Lord and Savior, I want you to know that's what matters the most. Yes, we get all divided on different tenets of the faith and different things, how we interpret scripture. But in the mind of God, it is his universal church. And when Jesus Christ comes back, he's not coming back for a reformation. He's not coming back for a denomination. He's not coming back for a building, but he is coming back for born again believers, the church that God has planted through his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said, upon this rock, I will build my church. He didn't name a denomination. He didn't name a reformation. He said, upon this rock, I will build my church. And the gates of hell should not prevail against it. When you are a born again believer, you are in the body of Christ. You are the bride of Christ. You are the ecclesia. Those that have been called out of darkness into his marvelous light. You are a holy nation. You are a peculiar people. You are a royal priesthood. To those who he have called out of darkness into his marvelous light. And the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Those who he have redeemed from the hand of the enemy. So we have to let the world know that we belong to God and that God belongs to us. Well, other scriptures I want to share with you. Luke chapter 22. Verse 31 through 32. It says, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thou faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thou brethren. In other words, Jesus is telling Peter, Peter, you got to stay connected. You got to stay in the word. You got to stay connected to Jesus Christ. And then the Lord tells Peter, who is Simon, he says, Simon, Satan desires to have you. I want you to understand, Satan desires to have you. He comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But thanks be unto God, Jesus Christ said, but I am come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. Praise God for that abundant life. Yes, Satan desires to have us, but the devil is a liar. Jesus said, Simon, I have prayed for you because the devil, Satan, desires to sift you as wheat. He's trying to separate you from me. He's trying to separate you from the body of Christ. Why? Because he desires to have you. What does he want to do with you? He wants to destroy you. He wants to use you against the will of God so that you will have your place in hell with him. But the devil is a liar. Jesus said, but I have prayed for you that you may be converted. What is that conversion? It is a change that you no longer submit to that old man, but you submit to that new man, that new wine that God has placed in you through his son, Jesus Christ. So I thank God that Jesus is praying for us. And then Romans 8, verses 26 and 27. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Holy Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Let me stop right there. Wait a minute. So Jesus is praying for us, and now we have the Holy Spirit praying for us. Oh, my God. I'm so excited and thank God for that. Not only is my Lord and Savior my advocate, my mediator. Not only is he praying for me, but the Holy Spirit of God is praying for you. Let me read it again. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. An infirmity is nothing more than a sickness. It's a trial. It's a tribulation. Whatever is affecting you, the Holy Spirit helps us. He's our helper. For we know not what we should pray as we ought. Some things you just don't know what to pray for. We don't know what's in our future. We don't know what's in tomorrow. But as we say, I don't know what's in tomorrow, but I know who holds tomorrow. It is in his hand. So we know not what we ought to pray as we should, as we ought. But the Spirit itself make it intercession. What is intercession? It's a go-between. God's Holy Spirit goes between us and the enemy. And he is praying for us. For us with groanings, which cannot be uttered. Now, sometimes you just don't know what to say. And you just say, help, Lord. Have mercy, Lord. Sometimes you don't know what to do other than just say, Lord, have your way. And I'm saying, thank you, Lord, that your Holy Spirit is praying for me. Thank you, Lord, that Jesus, you yourself, you are praying for us. You're praying for believers. You're praying for the church. You're praying for the world. So Jesus is praying for us. The Holy Spirit is praying for us. And all we have to do is stay connected. Yes, stay connected. Connected to what? Number one, stay connected. You got to stay connected, my sisters. You got to stay connected, my brothers. The Bible says, in Luke chapter 17, verse 5, and the apostle said unto him, Lord, increase our faith. So when the Lord will increase our faith and help us, he will strengthen our faith. He will strengthen our faith so that we can stay connected. So what is it that we want to stay connected to? Number one, stay connected to God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Stay connected to him, the triune God, the only true and wise God. Stay connected to God, the Father, God, the Son, and God, the Holy Spirit, the Father, Yahweh, Elohim, Jehovah. Stay connected to the Father. Stay connected to the Son, the Messiah, Christ, our Savior. Stay connected to him, the Holy Spirit, our Paraclete, our helper, our guide, our teacher. Stay connected to him. So when you pray, pray to the Father, pray to the Son, pray to the Holy Spirit. Pray to the whole triune God. Lord, I pray to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. And then number two, stay connected to his will. Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. Well, what is his will? Read his word. When you read his word, when you read the Bible, you'll know what his will is, because that's what it means, the Old Testament and the New Testament. The word testament means will, his old will, his new will. Read the Bible of God. Ask God to give you understanding to understand his word. The Holy Spirit will do that. He will lead you. He will guide you. He will teach you. He will give you a revelation. He will give you an understanding of his word. Be attached to a ministry that's going to teach you the unadulterated word of God, so you can understand the word of God, so you can live a victorious life. So be connected to God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Be connected to his will, and then be connected to his church. The devil is a lie. Don't you allow no disease, no pandemic, no type of problem in your life separate you from the body of Christ. Get back in church. Go to church. We go everywhere else we want to go. Be connected to his church. Show up at the church. Be early, because he says, they that seek me early will find me. He says, enter into my gates with thanksgiving. Enter into my courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his holy name. The Bible says, I was glad when they said unto me, now let us go into the house of the Lord. You have to be excited about going to God's house. Be excited about going to his church. Don't you dare stay at home. And we thank God for technology. We thank God for social media. We thank God for virtual viewers. But there's no substitute for being in the presence of the Almighty God. Forsake not the assembly of yourselves together. It is nothing like being in the presence of like-minded believers. When you can feel the presence of the Almighty God in that sanctuary, in that building, and when you can go from praise to worship. My sisters and my brothers, stay connected. Stay connected to God. Remember, Lot wanted to be connected to Abraham, because God had made a covenant with Abraham, and Abraham was being blessed. And Lot realized, if I want to be blessed, let me be connected to Abraham. Be connected to other people, not just blessed materially, not just blessed financially, but blessed with a relationship with God. And you'll know when they truly have a relationship with God. You may not be where you are in God, but you can tell when others have a mature and a seasoned relationship with God. Why? Because people always tell you the truth by their behavior. Watch how they act. Watch how they carry themselves. Watch how they represent the gospel of Jesus Christ. So yes, Lot wanted to be connected to Abraham. Remember Joshua? Joshua wanted to be connected to Moses. He was a servant. He was the minister of Moses. He followed Moses to Mount Sinai. When Moses would go up on the mount, Joshua would wait on him down at the base of the mountain. When it was time for Moses to go and to leave, God commanded Moses to put the anointing on Joshua to bring him before the camp. And Joshua became a leader. Why? Because he was connected to Moses. Remember Ruth, how she was connected to Naomi and how the sons had died. And Naomi tried to send Ruth back to her people. And she said that your God will be my God. Your people will be my people. Have that kind of connection with the people of God, where their God will be their God. Even when you don't have the faith, even when you don't understand it, stay connected. Remember Elisha, how he was connected to Elijah. Elijah was used so mighty of God, the Tishbite that walked into the throne room of Ahab and said it would be no dew, no rain on the earth, but according to my word, and it did not rain nor dew fall on the earth for 3 years and 6 months until he prayed and God allowed the rain to come. And then Elisha shows up and Elisha tells Elijah, I want a double portion of your spirit. In other words, man of God, I want the anointing that's like on you. I want the anointing that God has placed on your life to be on my life. And Elijah told Elisha that when you see me taken away, then you can then have this anointing. And sure enough, when God sent a chariot down to get Elijah, there was Elisha. You got to stay connected to the anointing. You got to stay connected to the church. You got to stay connected to the will of God so that the anointing would be on you. Why? Because it is the anointing that destroys the yoke. It is the anointing that God will anoint you from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. Remember how Barak was connected to Deborah. Deborah was one of the judges of Israel, but yet God used Deborah and God used Barak. Why? Because he was a soldier and he was connected to Deborah. And because of that, he experienced victory in God. Remember Silas, how Silas was connected to Paul. And yes, Paul being an anointed man of God, and Silas went on missionary journeys with Paul. And remember how they were locked up in a Philippian jail once. And the Bible says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas, they prayed and saying praises unto God. Get you a prayer warrior. Get you somebody that's connected to God, that can get a prayer through to God, that has faith in God, that know that God can do anything but fail. And I want you to understand that one can chase 1,000 and two can put 10,000 to flight. Why? Because these signs shall follow them that do believe. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. I want you to understand that when you're connected to like-minded people, that no weapon that's formed against you will prosper. And just as Silas was connected to Paul, God blessed him in a mighty way. Well, it's a hurry on and finish this on this evening. Well, in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 30, it says, how should one chase 1,000? I quoted that a moment ago. And two put 10,000 to flight, except their rock had sold them and the Lord had shut them up. In other words, when God is on your side and you will like-minded believers, that same power that's in that believer, God will use in you.
In this race that we run, you gotta have endurance, 'cause it's a marathon. I was born, shown up to win, in pursuit with faith until the end. I'm going to have a
strong finish,
because I have
strong faith.
I'm going to have a
strong finish.
I have
strong faith.
I'm going to have
a strong finish,
because I have
strong faith.
I'm going but still I'm onward bound.
Each and every day,
no matter what, I'll continue to run for the rest of my life. Till my work is done, I'm going to have a
strong finish.
Because I have
a strong face,
I'm going to have a
strong finish.
I have
a strong
face, I'm going to have. Somebody make some noise in here. Come on, Purpose, lift your voice. Help me say, God promised. He'd be with me. Through every step that I take. In this race. By His grace.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers 1-888-201-5313.